Hello again there, everybody. So I've been paying attention to all the drama going on in the Tommy Robinson camp for the last couple of weeks. And I originally thought I'd do a sort of short, snappy video on it, but there's actually quite a lot to get into here. Bearing in mind that, you've got to be careful what you see on YouTube these days. I mean, if Avi and Brian could, like, ask the ADL to stop censoring the internet in their name and in their interest, that would be great. But I don't hold out much hope for that. But what we've seen happening in the last couple of weeks is that people in the Tommy Robinson movement have been ostracised and thrown out. Then there was this video which sort of dropped, a hit piece video, attacking Mark Collard especially. But I think it's wider than just the Tommy movement, and I think this has been heading in the counter-jihad's direction for a long time. So I'm not really interested in any tittle-tattle about what they're doing with the donations and all of that, but really just the general changes in discourse which have led to what amounts, I think, to a crisis for the entire counter-jihad movement. That's certainly what's coming down the pipeline. So what is it that I'm getting to here? Well, one of the things that people often raise is that people such as Stefan Molyneux or Paul Joseph Watson, they sort of dog whistle, and it's as if they're moving in a certain direction on Twitter or in a video or what have you. And that's an interesting one to kick off with, because what we see happening there is that in the past, people assumed that if you put pressure on figureheads, the figureheads would buckle and your sort of more edgy alt-right or whatever talking points, they would eventually convert. They'd get red-pilled and start, going into the JQ and stuff. That didn't actually happen. But what we saw was that the base became more radicalised. And so if in this sort of situation, they then have to become much more serious about it, because they have to keep their base. And so in order to sort of keep their base happy and content, they have to throw out the odd dog whistle and wink in the right direction, which is what we see more and more. People are never happy, but the general sort of flow is in one direction. So what happens when your movement is created by, like, on the basis that kind of dog whistling, those talking points and these ideas, say the Frankfurt School, why it was invented, who was invented it, these kinds of things, or American foreign policy in the Middle East, all of these different talking points, if you then build your movement on specifically protecting a certain group and keeping all of those talking points out, how are you then going to deal with the fact that the general discourse is moving against that? And I think what we've seen in the Tommy Robinson scenario here is going to repeat itself across all of the counter-jihad, where their base is also becoming radicalised, and even some of the sort of more prominent people in the movement. But the problem that they have is that they can't do that. They are diametrically opposed to the views and opinions about certain questions which are taking root all over internet sort of political discourse. And so what they've done, in time on a tradition, is decide to ostracize people, throw them out, slur people, make videos attacking people, and generally try to shut people up, shut it down, shut the comments down, and all the rest of it. But that's not really any kind of answer, because it just compounds the problem, and they alienate themselves from an increasing proportion of their own base, who are now beginning to ask, well, what is this movement actually for? Who's pulling the strings here? And who is pulling the strings is now really obvious, because Tommy's in jail, and so they've removed the star attraction, and all that you have left is people like Avi and Brian and Israeli flags. But that's kind of where we are. That's the situation they're confronted with. They're confronted with a base which expects to be able to say or think or write or just explore certain ideas and concepts, and the counter-jihad is completely brittle and not able to move in that direction whatsoever. They just can't go there. And so what interested me about all of this is this is a group. I mean, other people have mentioned about the free speech issue, but what interested me was the kind of language that they use. And when you look at the bullet points in the hit piece video and Brian's tweets or Avi's tweets, what I find fascinating is that they use language. It's just always sort of Nazis, white supremacists, and all of this kind of thing. So there's Brian of London says Tommy Robinson is popular because he rejects Nazis because most of Britain rejected goose-stepping Nazis in 1939. Well, the thing is, there is no goose-stepping Nazis. There's just people who want to have their own homeland. So this kind of language is like the major problem for Europeans to self-actualize themselves. And I find it fascinating that these people are sort of compounding that problem and doubling down on it over and over again. I mean, just because the goose-stepping Nazis wanted the ADL to be what the press told them it would be, didn't make it happen. Again, you see, so the problem here is that over the course of decades, and since World War II, but then in the media, there are a specific set of words and key phrases which have been drilled into the heads of European people to keep them on the plantation and to stop them going in certain directions, thinking certain things, and having certain opinions. And this is the problem that they've been confronted with. It's kind of like it's proven why that language exists in the first place. And so Brian and Avi here, for example, are out groups, but they are using that language because they know it's a way to control the behaviour and the thoughts of whites, because it's associates. Well, it's white supremacist. If you're thinking in racial terms, put it simply, you're evil, and you're sick, and it's basically they've pathologized what are perfectly standard human emotions and feelings. So, I mean, Avi Yemini, again, the thing I've always respected most about Tommy Robinson is his absolute and consistent of intolerance of neo-Nazis and Hitler sympathisers. So while he's Nazis can fuck off, his words, there's no Nazis. That's the thing, there's no Nazis. There's people who just don't want to be replaced in their own countries. But the language, they know the effect that that language has. That language doesn't affect them. That language doesn't affect anybody except European people. And we can move on to some of the stuff that was in that hit piece video. Using the troubles of these towns to promote white supremacy is a dark path to go down. Our veterans fought Nazis. Here we are again. They didn't embrace National Socialism, so why should you? So they're doing it again and again and again. It's relentless. And this is a movement which is supposed to be in the best interests of Europeans. And then this one is, we believe wholeheartedly that Tommy's nationalism is the purest form of nationalism. It's not a nationalism based on the colour of your skin. It's a nationalism based on your love and devotion for country. Tommy's nationalism goes hand in hand with patriotism. I mean, this isn't even just basically true. National, the nation is a race of people, a large group of people with common ancestry and language. From the old French nation, birth, rank, descendants, relatives, country, homeland, and directed from the Latin, birth, origin, breed, stock, kind, species, race of people, tribe, literally that which has been born from natus. So you see the root word, you see it again as nation, natal, nature. It's about blood and belonging and specifically birth. Which is why you see it in natal. So Tommy's particular brand of nationalism is just fatuous rubbish. It doesn't mean anything, but it's civic nationalism. And so what they're doing is to the civic nationalism can only really exist if you have a certain set, you use certain Pavlovian training within Europeans to keep them thinking certain things. And this is exactly what these people are doing here with these terms like Nazi, white supremacist, anti-Semite, and so on and so on. The Hate Piss video had like a huge chunk of it, which was just Holocaust footage, and I'm not going to put it on this video, but that again is a way, as a cattle prod being zapped into Europeans to get them back on the plantation and know what you're allowed to think, know what you're allowed to say. We are going to hit you with these words, which we know instill guilt in you and shame in you and make you feel bad about yourself. So it's this language which is being used to keep people in line. We then go, they have another one. Winston Churchill is a national hero. He defeated the forces of Hitler's National Socialism. He liberated the white world from a tyrannical, tyrannical, supremacist, race-based political ideology. Winston Churchill had a Keep Britain White campaign in the 1950s, so that flies in the face of everything this counter-jihad movement stands for. And so what we see is that instead of actually setting European people free, what they're doing is enslaving them. And this is the way that they keep them on the plantation. And the situation they find themselves is that the discourse is rising in a certain direction. And they're trying to plug the leaks. They're trying to stop people wandering off. And it's making things worse and worse. And this says a lot about where the counter-jihad come from, why it was invented. And you can see that it was absolutely not invented or conjured up with the best interests in Europeans in mind. Because if it was, why are they using language which, in a different context, you could say that it was hate speech. You could say that Europeans who show sort of racial kinship with each other over universalism offered by the counter-jihad and civic nationalism, to then demonise people and deliberately target them with this language, which, in, you know, a lot of people are red pill now, thank God. But, you know, if you're a working class woman from Burnley and you start to question certain things, you're going to have this group say that you're Nazi scum. You're a white supremacist, and that conjures up in that woman shame and guilt and feeling embarrassed and bad about herself. Now, look, this is the problem. This isn't a solution to anything at all. You can fire all the rockets you want at Belmarsh Prison. You can walk down the streets with your banners. But what we're trying to do here is get rid of this sort of ideology. We're trying to unplug the wires from European brains so they can actually deal with the world as it is without being stabbed in the back and without being hamstrung by these memes. And the people who perpetrate these memes. But they are then sort of funneled in the direction of a purely anti-Islam sentiment, which they can't do anything about anyway because of the government. So the key here is to try and tear out the wiring of this indoctrination. And when people begin to question it, you can see, I mean, if things are going okay, they don't have to do that much. It's when the whites start heading for the fence that the cattle prods come out and these people are saying, get back in line or we're going to make you feel bad about yourself. So the priority begins with ourselves. And overcoming this and ridding ourselves of this rubbish. But the counter-jihad movement as a whole and how sort of the double standards to it is typical. It's absolutely typical, and it's so transparent, and it's great to see that the discourse is changing against it, and all they can do, the people who run this, is revert to form and start and try and shut everybody down. So what I would say to fans of this movement is not that we're disrespecting somebody like Tommy. He's brave, he's in jail. That's not the point. The point is that you're being led around by the nose, and the way they're doing it is to guilt trip you and make you feel bad about yourself if you want to have express yourself in a racial way, which is perfectly natural. Instead, they've got you boxed in, and they're not even in this country while they do it. They're sitting in Israel, for crying out loud. You're being used. And the counter-jihad is, as a sort of political philosophy, is just a bunch of nonsense that was conjured up by neocons in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And the fact that it relies on the very talking points and demonization words, power words, it is proof that it's no good for you. So just walk away. Just walk away from it. And when people hit you with these words, which are completely just fabricated, it's all just repetition. Repetition, repetition. White supremacist, Nazi, fascist. On and on and on and on and on. Just walk off. You don't care. Just walk off the plantation. This is the challenge that we face. And not throwing bricks at a few Muslims. This can get us somewhere. But we need to tear this wiring out, and we need to what we are saying is stop being cowering before these words. So I'll catch you later, folks, and thanks for listening.